We are still looking at the five solas, the five slogans that were used during the Reformation 500 years ago to help Christianity get back to the core message of Jesus. Last week, we talked about Scripture alone, how the Bible is far and away the primary way that God still speaks to us. And this week, we are looking at Solus Christus, or through Christ alone. Two readings today, the first from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Then he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. Second reading from 1 John chapter 4. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. Well, I have performed quite a few weddings during my time as a pastor, and I always tell the bride and groom that there are two non-negotiables. Scripture must be read and vows must be exchanged. Everything else we can work with. And I also like to spend time with the couples to get to know them and figure out what kind of style they like for their wedding service. Not everyone wants the same style. I default to simple but meaningful. But not everyone wants that. And one couple in particular, I asked them what style of service they were looking for, and they kind of looked at each other sheepishly, and then the groom-to-be said, we'd kind of like you to make people laugh through the whole thing. How about a stand-up comedy style wedding? Now, those of you who know me know I'm competitive, so I like a challenge, and I used to run a humor website, so I thought I was capable of doing this. And luckily for me, their humor and mine had significant overlap, so when it came time for the wedding service, I had everyone rolling. I'm not 100% sure the groom's parents appreciated it, but everyone else in the ceremony was absolutely loving it. Now, after a wedding, I usually get, you know, the typical responses, you know, thank you so much, Pastor, nice service, Pastor, But after this wedding, people were coming up to me and telling me their favorite one-liners, or they were joking with me. It was almost like I had become part of the family through that wedding service. But I was very uncomfortable. Not because I didn't like the ceremony. I thought it was a blast. I felt uncomfortable because people remembered what I said. They didn't remember what the bride and groom had done. The ceremony became about me, not the promises of the bride and groom. Now, the bride and groom, they were happy. They got exactly what they had asked for, but I felt that something was a little off. The wedding ceremony shouldn't put the spotlight on me. It should put the spotlight on the couple. A similar thing was happening 500 years ago at the time of the Reformation. The spotlight of our faith was very much shining on the priests, the bishops, the cardinals, the pope, all the professional religious clergy. If you needed forgiveness from Jesus, you had to go ask the priest for it. If you wanted to get to heaven, you'd better come to church every week so the priest could give you credit. When you prayed to God, you had to pray through a saint or pray to Mary or some other intercessor because you weren't good enough to pray directly to God yourself. The worship services were in Latin because that's what the professionals used. The Bible was only available in Latin, so only the professionals could read it. You had to trust whatever they said was in the Bible. And when it came time for communion, many churches wouldn't serve wine to the people in the pews because they were worried that those common folk might accidentally spill it. Do what we tell you to do. Stand when we tell you to stand. Sit when we tell you to sit. Speak these words, even though you don't have a clue what they mean. And trust us, we are the professionals. The spotlight was very much shining on the professional clergy. Sometimes the people in the pews actually had to watch the proceedings through a veil so they couldn't clearly see the holy mysteries happening up in front of them. And so the reformers saw this happening, and they came up with a new theological term to call this. They called it hogwash, loosely translated. Now, when Jesus was walking around on earth, did he celebrate the priests and the religious leaders? No. He had harsh words for them. When Jesus died, what happened to the curtain that was hiding the innermost part of the temple? It was torn in two, and everyone could see inside. Who did Jesus choose as his closest followers? Were they professional priests and rabbis? No. They were tax collectors, fishermen, sinners. In our texts today, what does Paul say is of first importance? Does he say it is of first importance to go to church every week and listen to your priest? No. It is of first importance that Jesus died for our sins, that Jesus rose again, and that he appeared to a whole bunch of people who saw him. Our second text today in 1 John, did God reveal his love among us by giving us the professional religious clergy? No. God's love was revealed among us in this way, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. The spotlight is supposed to be on the relationship between the sinner and the Savior, not the priest standing in the middle like an unwanted chaperone at a middle school dance. And so the slogan, through Christ alone, means that the professional clergy kind of need to get out of the way. People need to connect with Jesus directly because he's the one who saves. The priest can't save anyone. That's what Jesus does. I can't give you the backstage pass to heaven. Well, I could, but you have to promise not to haunt me when St. Peter calls it a counterfeit. And really, if you think about it, I'm kind of wearing the wrong uniform. I shouldn't be in robes or even a suit and tie. I should have pom-poms, I think. Because one of my main roles is as a cheerleader. We have a class going on in between the services, reading the book, God Helps Those Who Help Themselves and Other Things the Bible Does Not Say. Susan Graham is leading it, and lots of people have attended. I've heard great things about it. You know what I had to do to make it happen? I said, great idea, and got out of the way. I haven't given Susan any advice on how to lead it. I had nothing to do with it other than waving my pom-poms. And am I sad that I haven't been a part of this part of our church? No. There are people in our church growing closer to Jesus, and I didn't have to lift a finger. That is efficiency, if you ask me. It's like my electric car coasting down a hill, watching the battery recharge. This is free. Or how about the community dinner? We just had our first one of the year this last Tuesday, and you know what I had to do to make it happen? I said yes when Linda Kaiser asked me if she could try to make it happen. They don't need me to cook. It's probably wise anyway. They don't need me to be a greeter. I mean, my son Charlie and I come, we talk to people, but we wave pom-poms, but really Linda and the community dinner team, they make it happen. Or how about the quilt show for Western Welcome Week? We have a couple of quilts out there you can see. And the hot dog stand we have on our lawn in Western Welcome Week. My job is to show up to the parade and shake people's hands. Jenny Staritsky, David LeMay, and others make it happen. I just wave my pom-poms. Next week, our children are going to have a meal in between the services, and they're going to write letters to the shut-ins in our church. I didn't come up with that, but I got my pom-poms ready. Many of the best things in our church happened because the people in the pews got an idea. And then they prayed about it and got confirmation from Jesus in prayer, and then the church got behind them. And the pastor just needed to be the cheerleader. You won't grow in your faith by following me. You'll grow in your faith by following Jesus. The community of Littleton isn't going to be helped by you following me. It'll be helped by you following Jesus. This church won't become more vibrant, more effective by following me. It'll become more vibrant and effective when you follow Jesus. My job is to help you hear what Jesus is saying to you, to encourage you to follow where he's leading, and sometimes to be a cheerleader to help others rally behind you. My job isn't to tell you what to do. Jesus knows that. And he has way better ideas than I do anyway. He should get a patent or something on them. So what is Jesus saying to you? How often are you intentionally listening to what Jesus has to say, not just talking at him in prayer? Because the spotlight is on your relationship with Jesus. That's where the action is. Sometimes Jesus wants you to do something at your work. Sometimes he might want you to do something in your family or in your home. Sometimes he might want you to do something in this church. Sometimes he might want you to do something in our community. What is he saying to you? And how are you listening? Not just talking at him. When Jesus wants to impact this world, he doesn't usually start by talking to the professional clergy first. He usually talks to you first. And then it's your job to get the ball rolling. Sisters and brothers, I can't save you. Jesus saves you. I can't tell you what you are supposed to do. Jesus does that. And this church won't become more vibrant and more effective by following me. It will become more vibrant and effective when you follow Jesus. The spotlight is on you and your relationship with Christ. It's not on the professional clergy, not on the institution of the church. Just you and Jesus. As Paul says, that's what is of first importance. But what starts with you and Jesus can change your world. And if others rally behind you, it can change our world too. So how will you listen this week? And what will you do? Amen.